Christopher Warren is our next speaker. He is the Federal Secretary of the Media, Entertainment, and Arts Alliance, the union of people who inform and entertain Australia and New Zealand. He's responsible for coordinating the industrial and professional campaigns of the union on issues to build a strong and independent media and entertainment sector that provides fair wages and conditions for creative workers. Christopher Warren.
Thank you very much and g'day. I think Australian journalism can claim to have given two great gifts now that have each transformed American journalism. The first of those, of course, is Keith Rupert Murdoch. He's now, of course, an American citizen, and you can keep him. The second is Julian Assange. Because what's happening with WikiLeaks is transforming journalism. And what I want to talk about it is, perhaps from inside the beast of journalism, what those changes are and how some of those changes are in fact profoundly disturbing for those of us who believe in a free and independent media. The first is that the vehicle of WikiLeaks, which doesn't operate on its own, but in many ways is an example of how the sheer volume of the internet enables us to produce more information in more forms to more people than ever before. Journalists talk about a lot of that as rhetoric, but WikiLeaks is a classic example of how that operates. What I think is less clearly understood is how WikiLeaks itself is being transformed by journalism. Now, I'm not one of those people who argue that WikiLeaks is somehow something that is not journalism. WikiLeaks is something that practices journalism and is itself being transformed by the craft of journalism. And actually, I'm proud of the fact that I hear a lot of criticism as you go around about Julian Assange. And if every journalist had to pass the sort of personality test that Julian Assange is required to pass in the day-to-day cracks that are made, even by supporters of his, then I think very few journalists would meet that test. And I'm proud of the fact that Julian Assange is a proud member of our union and has been for 10 years. Now, people look at WikiLeaks as though it's been a constant entity. And in fact, WikiLeaks is something that has transformed itself and has morphed far more recognisably into something that is a media organisation. And in fact, the way it's handled so-called Cablegate is a very good example of how it has become much more of a media organisation than it may have initially been. It started off with the intent of being a kind of a macro organisation, a macro media organisation that would produce all the information and, in fact, bypass journalism, bypass mainstream, particularly mainstream journalism and mainstream media. And it is instead become now, and has been forced to become by the way we consume information, much more of a traditionally understood media organisation. So the reason I don't agree with the previous speaker who said, or WikiLeaks, or one of the previous speakers who said, one of the reasons WikiLeaks is now leaking this stuff out bit by bit is because they can't, and are working with mainstream media organisations, is not because they can't handle the volume. They're doing it because that's what media organisations do. If you've got a good story, you don't just put it all out in one day, you leak it out bit by bit. And they've handled that extremely intelligently on a global scale. Now, you'd all be familiar with the impact the stories have had on American politics. You probably wouldn't be as familiar with the impact that it's had in almost every country around the world. In Australia, for example, the main story was about how the cables revealed that senior government ministers were in regular contact with the US Embassy and advising the US Ministry, the US Embassy, of political developments in Australia, that they were not advising the Australian people, and in one notorious example, hadn't even advised the Australian Prime Minister of. That is, that they were about to roll him in the caucus and replace him with a new Prime Minister. In New Zealand, I must say, there were actually no stories of any interest in the WikiLeaks cables, but I think that says one of the great things about New Zealand. So we can see how WikiLeaks has fundamentally transformed itself into a much more of a practical media organisation. The second thing I think that's interesting about the impact of WikiLeaks is about what it says about us as journalists and our sense of the craft of journalism. Because I think, to be frank, one of the great weaknesses of American journalism has been shown by its response to WikiLeaks and the failure to give WikiLeaks the sort of support and the sort of collective community support that it needs. There's been talk about the New York Times, and I think the description of the New York, or the characterisation of the New York Times, or the way in which the New York Times characterised WikiLeaks as being more of a source rather than a media organisation, is, I think, itself a very dangerous position to take. Because if WikiLeaks is a source and Julian Assange is a source, then he's subject to the same penalties for criminal action as anybody else who leaks information without the protection that journalists claim for themselves. And to seek to exclude WikiLeaks and the operators of WikiLeaks from the journalist community or from the media community is not just a bit of self-importance, it's actually quite a dangerous step for media organisations to take. I want to contrast that, if I may, with some pride, with the difference between the way the media community in Australia has responded to this. And we were under the same sort of pressure. The Australian Prime Minister came out very early on and characterised the actions of WikiLeaks as illegal and directed the Federal Police and the Attorney General to investigate laying charges. The response was not to run cold, as it was for too much of the journalist community and media community in the United States. It was actually to fight back. Now, of course, we're the union. We put out a statement condemning that. Well, everyone expects us to do that. That's kind of what we do. What was more important, for the first time in the history of the country, almost every editor of a major newspaper and some not so major newspapers, or an executive producer or news director of the television and radio stations, signed a joint letter to the Prime Minister declaring their belief that WikiLeaks was a bona fide media organisation, that they'd committed no crimes under Australian law, and that as an Australian citizen, Julian Assange was entitled to all the protections that an Australian citizen should get. And what was interesting about that is that not only did virtually every editor did, but almost every one of Rupert Murdoch's editors signed it as well. And I think that's a very strong indication of the strong response from the Australian media community, which has acted to prevent the kind of hysteria about WikiLeaks that has unfortunately continued to plague the US media. And most of those people did it, obviously partly out of a sense of justice and fair play, but because they understood what I think too few American journalists understand, which is that if we allow WikiLeaks to be singled out and if we allow Julian Assange to be charged with espionage, which is one of the threats that's been made, then that's not a threat just for WikiLeaks or for Julian Assange. It's a threat to every person who seeks to practice independent journalism or even not independent journalism in the developed world today. And I think there are two reasons, if I may be so bold, to criticise my American counterparts about why that's happened. One is pretension. The sense of, I'm a real journalist, these people aren't. And that's a failure to understand how journalism is changing fundamentally in the world, and a failure to understand the way WikiLeaks itself has changed as a media organisation. Secondly, there remains in the United States this continued fear that affects the way journalists and media organisations report the news that flows from the security response to 9/11. And until the American media are able to get over that and to recognise that their responsibility is to inform, to educate, to entertain with respect for the truth and for the public's right to know the truth, then we will continue to cause rods for the back, not just of journalists in the United States, but for journalists all around the world. The third point I just quickly want to mention is the impact on whistleblowers, which has already been mentioned. What we are seeing as a result of technology is an increasing attack on whistleblowers, again, not just in the United States, but around the world. Bradley Manning is just the most severe example of that. even though I think we should all recognise the case against Bradley Manning is remarkably thin, and if it was not occurring in the military context, it would simply not be occurring at all. And the final thing, and but one thing I do really want to strongly agree with the point that the previous speaker, Mika, made about the impact on the infrastructure that surrounded WikiLeaks, things like PayPal and Amazon, and their overreaction to the high-blown hysteric rhetoric that came out of government to basically cut WikiLeaks off and to pretend that's not part of WikiLeaks. That requires also a very important pushback against those organisations. This is not the first time we've been there with these organisations. Those of you who follow Chinese politics would know that there was a period about 10 years ago when organisations like Yahoo, for example, were leaning over themselves to cooperate with the Chinese government. We pushed back successfully, the global free speech community pushed back successfully against that, humiliated and embarrassed those organisations, and I think we need to do something very similar with those organisations that are seeking to hang out WikiLeaks to dry. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Christopher.